Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. We are back with another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. Of course, I'm your host, John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor or Messianic rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, and hopefully to answer some perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Savior Yeshua, Jesus. Now, at this time, I'm honored again to introduce the other co-host, and that is Minister Tanita Jones. And before we get started, Tanita, I want to go ahead and pray and just kind of set the tone and allow the Holy Spirit to really begin to move, if that's okay.
Okay. Yes.
So, Father, now, in the name of Yeshua, you know, if there's any fault in me, if there's any sin, iniquity, or transgression in either one of us, Father, we ask collectively for you to forgive us of those sins, iniquities, and transgressions that we have done before you. Father, we equally also, but with your strength also, ask you to begin to give us the strength to forgive those who have sinned against us, who have caused transgression against us. And, of course, those that have twisted and perverted and just butchered the truth about us. Father, our desire is to walk holy before you and to allow your Ruach HaKodesh to begin to move, to begin to flow, to begin to set in order the things that must be set in order in these last days.
Yeah.
So, Ruach, we submit to you to be the teacher, to be the one that opens our eyes and to guide us through, step by step, the principles of the doctrine of Yeshua, the principles of truth and understanding that are deeply hidden and woven within the New Testament. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well,
amen.
With that said and done, I'm going to pass the baton to you, Minister Tanita, so that you can kind of get us ramped up and give us kind of a forecast of where we need to go from here.
Okay, amen. Well, hello and welcome to our third show. Again, my name is Minister Tanita Jones, and we're going to continue our discussion on salvation. Last week, we were talking about defining salvation and what does it mean and how does it work through the Hebraic perspective. As we were going through, Rabbi began to, he started out with Romans 10, 8 through 10, and then we moved into Romans 3, 1 through 2, John 3:16, and then John 3:5, where it was dealing with the confession of, the remission of sins and the confession of sins, and Rabbi began to explain that. And finally, we ended up, we were at Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. And Rabbi, if you would like for me to, I can continue to reread that, and we'll continue our discussion on salvation from the Hebraic perspective.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that and just kind of get all the viewers back into that mindset. And then from there, we'll just begin to allow the Spirit to just kind of break down and fortify the Word for us. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. And so we were at Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. And again, I'm reading the New King James Version. And so it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these rocks.
Amen. Amen. Well, one of the things that should just really begin to speak out very clearly in that passage is that John the Baptist here did not consider water baptism a symbolism of a faith act that happened prior to that baptismal. As a matter of fact, he understood that the baptism itself, the water immersion itself, was a spiritual act that was so important that without this spiritual act of obedience, that one, no matter their relationship, and this is important to understand, no matter their relationship with the Father, no matter their relationship with Yeshua, even, they would not be able to escape the wrath to come. Now understand, that is just mind-blowing, because what you're dealing with here, and what you have the opportunity to really begin to get an epiphany of here, is that these front runners, and of course you know that John the Baptist was a tremendous front runner for the New Testament church movement, that they understood the eschatology of end times events. They had a pretty good understanding. Because when he said, who, you know, as, when he was talking about to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he was talking about them and saying, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He was talking about the same wrath that we understand today to be inside of the Great Tribulation period. He understood that the wrath to come was the end portion of the Great Tribulation period. He understood that if you were not mikvahed, if you're not baptized correctly, baptized the way in which he had been instructed by God, and then later passed the baton, and we'll get to that part, but passed that self-same baton to Yeshua, he understood that if you did not have this happen, that regardless of your relationship, this element, this piece, was one that was so quintessential that without this piece, you would not be able to be taken out before the wrath of God comes upon the earth. So I want to make sure that that's clear. So, Tanita, I just want to make sure that you kind of give me some feedback to make sure that I'm drilling down enough in an understanding for everyone so that they really get the at least a little bit of the gravity, a little bit of the weight, you know, a little bit of the G-force of that.
Yes. And so, and then I will make a statement and then ask the question if I'm correct. So, Rabbi, from what I'm gathering, because many of us may not, and praise God, I'm fortunate to be with your ministry and under the teaching, the wrath of God, a lot of people don't understand that there's a lesser tribulation and a greater tribulation that's this very descriptive in Revelation, and many people don't understand that revelation. But the portion that you're talking about is the part where that greater tribulation would be coming up around this, between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, if I'm correct. But the part where you're talking about us being not taken is what we would call rapture or being caught up. And so
yes, that is that is correct.
Okay. And so when you're saying not being baptized correctly, mikvah, water baptism, if we're not mikvah in our husband's name, which in this case would be Yeshua, then we would, even though we have been saved, we received him as a savior, because you haven't been baptized correctly, you would not be one of those remnant that would be caught up in the air, that would meet him in the air. Am I correct? Is that the part?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes, that is correct. And please understand, Tanita, this is a really harsh, hard saying. And when I say harsh and hard, it's not harsh from the standpoint of the Hebraic understanding. Because from the Hebraic understanding, it's about a wedding. It's not about salvation.
Right.
So if you understand Hebraically that it's a wedding and there's a process within that wedding and you've got to go through all of the tiers or all of the aspects of the process, you've got to fulfill all of the responsibilities that a bride needs to fulfill to become a bride. When you begin to understand it from that standpoint, then the whole salvation piece is just a small not insignificant, but a small tidbit of the fulfillment of the fullness of what God mm-hmm. and why God brought Yeshua on the earth. Because oftentimes, you know, from a Christian perspective, we're just taught, you know, he came to save us. Right. And you very rarely, if ever, hear he came to marry us.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's a totally different paradigm, you know. That dynamic is totally different. But the biblical scriptures verify that he came to prepare a bride for himself. In the process, yes, he had to save. In the process, yes, he had to die. All of those were a part of the process. But if I view and look at the process as if it is the end game, it is the essence of what everything is, and then there's more, and I'm looking at him like, well, what are you talking about? Then I lose. As a matter of fact, Minister Tanita, there's a perfect example of a person losing because they followed yes. certain aspects of the process.
That's right.
But mm-hmm. they were kicked out of the wedding. Okay, and mm-hmm. that's found in Matthew chapter 22. All right? And if you can go there, Matthew chapter 22, we kind of started probably at verse 10 or 11. It begins okay. to give us a better understanding because these parables, yeah, they're parables, but they're parables of,
yeah.
of spiritual truths that we are held responsible for. And Yeshua is so concerned about his bride making it through these different responsibility tasks, if you will, and events,
mm-hmm.
that he is just, you know, he's cloaked it from those that are crafty with his parables,
yeah.
but he's revealed it to those who sincerely and desire to want to know all that they're supposed to have and receive and be. If you can go ahead
right.
and read that for us.
Amen. Okay, so Matthew chapter 22, New King James Version, starting at verse 10.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good, bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. You want me to continue?
Now I'll step in here.
Okay. Okay.
This person that was invited as a bride. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of you have heard this custom in these times, but I have to, for the sake of those that are listening that don't know a lot of the actual customs and courtesies pertaining to a wedding and pertaining to that particular time period and pertaining to how the king would provide the garments for those who were less fortunate, those who did not have the finances or the means to actually acquire the garments that were necessary for the banquet. Because in order to enter the banquet, in order to be a part of the festivities, you had to make sure that you were clothed properly. There was a proper clothing. Otherwise, you would be thrown out because it would be a disgrace. You would be a disgrace. And in this particular case, this individual was a disgrace. Now, in the college that I teach, as far as the Hebraic apologetics, in that particular, there's a piece that references this more in detail, and of course I can't go in detail within 30 minutes, but one of the things that I want to make sure that you understand is that Yeshua spoke to and dealt with four groups of people, okay, four categories. He dealt with and spoke, as far as his parables were concerned, with heathens, servants, friends, and brides. Now, this individual was called to be a bride, but by not accepting, not just changing, not just saying, okay, thank you for giving me my free tuxedo, if you will. I will change into the tuxedo because you have all different sizes. He couldn't even say that, hey, the reason why I didn't wear it was because you didn't have my size. That wasn't even an excuse that was accepted. As a matter of fact, He was speechless, the scriptures say, because there was no excuse, because he knew what he was supposed to do, but chose not to do it. Well, this is an example. This is a perfect example. When you start doing some more cross-references or theological analysis of the passage, you begin to realize that this references directly to being clothed with Christ or and being baptized, water baptism. As a matter of fact, we could skip to Galatians chapter 3 at this point and keep our finger on where we were, but skip to Galatians chapter 3 and we can see the correlation. We could see the relativeness of the understanding of being clothed with Christ, being clothed with this garment, the garment being a garment of righteousness, if you will, and that being directly connected with water baptism, being connected with being baptized in his name. Okay?
Yes.
In Galatians, then we'll probably start at verse 26 and then go from verse 26 to about 29. And that's Galatians.
Okay.
Galatians chapter 2. Verse 26 to 29.
Two. Okay.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Three. I said three
okay.
before.
Right.
I meant three.
Yes.
I apologize. Galatians chapter
okay.
three.
Okay.
Verse 20. Okay.
Chapter 3, 26 to 29. Okay. And this is the New King James Version. It reads, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise."
I mean, now there is some very disturbing information. Especially in verse 28 and 29, that says that if you've done this, then, when? After I've been mikvahed, after I've been baptized into Christ, after I've been baptized into Christ, then I am Abraham's seed. So that means there's individuals running around here that have not been mikvahed or baptized properly, and they're not Abraham's seed. Now, they're thinking they're Abraham's seed, which means they're thinking that they are heirs to the promise.
Mm-hmm.
See, because in order to be heirs to the promise, you have to be Abraham's seed.
Yes.
You know, and I'm telling you, that it seems like the more we begin to go into this, Minister Tanita, the more we're just really digging, you know, tremendous conundrums here. Not conundrums in the sense that it can't be answered, but in the sense that because of the way one was taught, they have to go back and establish what is truth about the doctrine that I have been taught? And what is not truth? Okay, because Paul understood. Paul knew. He was Hebrew. He was a Benjamite. He knew and understood that you had to be mikvah, and that a mikvah was not a symbolic symbol. He was talking, having a conversation with the congregation in Colossae. And if you go to Colossians chapter 2, okay, and start at verse 9, and go to about verse 13, what you'll begin to see is he was giving them the same dissertation that we're talking about here. And he was clarifying for them an important relative connection between the water baptism, of course, being baptized into Christ, with some metaphors that he began to use that were important metaphors, because he would connect the water baptism with the baptism without hands. Now, we know the baptism with hands, or the circumcision without hands. We know that the circumcision with hands is the circumcision that was done in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 10, with Abraham. And we understand the importance of that circumcision, because in that, Yah said to Abraham, and he was very clear, that if you and your people don't receive this, then you're cut off from your people. In other words, you will never be, in our New Testament vernacular, you will never be brides. You will be brought down to the next tier, like what happened to the gentleman in Matthew chapter 22, which we hadn't finished and we'll go back to, you'll be brought down to the friend category. So, and if you're brought down to the friend category, we both know that that means that you will not step foot in New Jerusalem.
Correct.
You will not, because only the bride will be in New Jerusalem with Yeshua and with his Father.
Amen.
So could you read that? That's Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 9, going to about verse 13, and then we're going to see that this circumcision is the circumcision of the flesh. It's not the circumcision of flesh, excuse me. It's the circumcision of Christ, and it's a circumcision without hands, so that means it's a spiritual circumcision. So it's saying baptism is not a symbol, but it's a spiritual manifestation of something that happens. And it's also going to give us clear indication that that thing that happens is that there's spiritually sin on our flesh, and that it circumcises or it separates that sin from our flesh when we get water baptized by faith in Yeshua's name. Okay? It's an operation that the Father does, and that's what she's going to read. Go ahead.
Okay. Colossians 2, verses 9 through 13. And it says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, of the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your heart, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses."
Amen.
Amen.
So you see there, one, there's an operation that the Father does, right? You see that clearly.
Yes.
All right, you also see this circumcision is a circumcision of Christ, your husband, okay? We also see that that circumcision is the taking of the flesh, spirit, I mean the sin, and sin is not symbolic. Sin is spiritual. So if sin is spiritual and you're taking something off by this act, then the act itself has to also be spiritual. The act itself cannot be a symbolic external act pertaining to something that happened prior to that act.
Mm-hmm.
So salvation in itself, going back to that salvation, when you go, and I do want you to go back to Matthew chapter 22, to where we stopped at, dealing with the gentleman that was supposed to be a bride, knew what he was supposed to do, but yet chose not to do it, therefore became a friend and was kicked out of the wedding.
So, Rabbi, before I go back there, I just want to ask one quick question. Since you were talking about the circumcision is spiritual, does this also include the part where we were discussing last week about the remission of sins, that part too? Would that be a part of that washing? Okay.
Yes.
Just so that they can
All of those are metaphors, but they're important metaphors, and thank you for bringing that back up.
Okay.
They're important metaphors. Because you can be forgiven of an act, but the problem or the effects of the act still needs to be remitted. I usually use an example of, earlier in my adulthood or parenting skills, my oldest had dropped a. Had dropped one of those water bottles, if you will, and he was testing gravity, and said, "Oops," that little and grab everything, you give it to him, and he drops it.
Yes.
Well, this time this had milk in it, and it spilt. So I had to forgive him because the Father began to deal with me on it because being young and parenting, I my patience was being tested, and it didn't pass the test that time. So
okay.
With that being said, I kind of got a little angry at him, and the Holy Spirit just came and began to speak to me about, his age and what he was doing versus my attitude and the fact that, I should have been a better parent in guarding that from happening. So, I did what the Holy Spirit told me to do. I looked at him and I told my oldest son, I said, I apologize. I said, that's not the way Daddy should be acting. And then the second part of that was I had to remit or I had to clean up all of the milk that was on the ground or on the floor, actually. So this was an expensive lesson to a degree to my ego. But it was also a valuable lesson when it comes to understanding the aspect of salvation and lordship or forgiveness of sin, which happens very easily and very quickly through asking, for Jesus to come in your heart and asking to be forgiven of the Father of the things that we've done versus remission, which one of the first acts of remission is water baptism.
Yes.
So this was not something I came up with. This is not something that any other denominations, if you will, Christian denominations came up with. This was something that has always been and will always be an integral part of the Hebraic understanding of the gospel.
Amen.
If that makes sense.
Amen. Yes.
Okay, so if we can get to Matthew chapter 22, and I think you were around, verse 13 or so?
Yes, I was. I was at verse 13. Yes, well, I just finished 12. So 13, it says, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. That was 13.
And see, this outer darkness, a lot of times people consider this hell, but this is not hell. Okay? This outer darkness is just not in the presence of God, not at the New Jerusalem. It's not, forever with Yeshua and with the Father. Because in Revelations, it's very clear when it starts to talk about the new heavens and the new earth, and then it starts talking about the new Jerusalem, and when they're, giving the picture of the new Jerusalem, especially in chapter 21, when they start to give that picture, they say that it is so much light there that there is no sun or moon. There's no need for the sun and the moon to reflect because the glory is there. Well, guess what? If you're kicked out of there, if you're taken away from there and put on new earth or old earth, either one, okay? If you're if that happens to you, then that is the similar concept of outer darkness.
Wow.
From where, do you understand what I'm saying? This is not hell. He is, because he has accepted Yeshua. And in this case, and we'll get to this, maybe on the next broadcast. But because in this particular case, this is a perfect example of an individual that has accepted Yeshua, salvation, and has also been baptized with the Holy Spirit, which is the element or the part of Yah that helps you to be raptured in the first place. Then that's the situation that you see here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll discuss more of that in the next broadcast. But at this point, I'm going to go ahead and pass it to you, Tanita, to give an idea of for individuals as far as where we worship or fellowship and just, some of the things that we're doing as far as the website and things of that nature.
Okay. Well, thank you for attending our show. This show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, the ministry is Beth Hashem Ministries. Our website is BethHashem.org, and that is B-E-T-H-H-A-S-H-E-M dot O-R-G. www.faithfulrg, and of course that begins with www. Our Facebook page is www.facebook.com/BethHashemMinistries. If you would like to attend services, you can email us at BethHashem@yahoo.com for directions. That is BethHashem@yahoo.com. And thank you for attending the show. I'll hand it back to you.
Shalom. All right. And we'll bless everybody in the name of Yeshua and pray that you begin to become Bereans as you ought to be. Because as we get closer and closer to the end, we're going to be more responsible for the actions and the words. So I pray that your words and actions in the name of Yeshua line up with his perfect will for your life. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Yeshua's name. Amen.
Shalom.